Hey, everybody, this is Scooter. Just a reminder to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. That way it just comes directly to you, whether you subscribe in iTunes or an Android podcatcher, then the podcast is just there when you need it. And you can get to our iTunes page by sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. And I guess if I put this out there, I'll have to do it. For Android, I'll try to create a link, sleepwithmepodcast.com/Android. Thanks, and let's get on to the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. Tonight it's our serial story, Tales of Lady Witchbeard. But all you got to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what am I going to do? What's the rest for you newbies or you regulars? You say, well, here's my memorandum of proposal, whatever. I'm going to reach my hand via my voice. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night to your ears. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders, and an unpatented system of boredom to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's running through your brain. Whatever's racing through your brain, whatever's got you tossing and turning, I'm going to try to distract you from that. I'm going to try to take your mind off of whatever is, you know, whatever you're thinking about or whatever has got you emotionally stirred up, whether it's excited or down or blue or anxious. Or maybe it's your body that's flaring up. I'm going to try to bring your attention to my story, but I'm not going to lock you in. I'm not going to say, well, you wait, make sure you stick around till minute 49. Because I'll tell you what, at minute 49, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to say Oshkosh Bagosh, but I'm going to forget to say it. So at minute 49, I probably won't say Oshkosh Bagosh. So no reason to say there. I said it already. Oshkosh, but gosh. But the story, you know, especially these stories, I work really hard on them. And if you're a new person, you might say, "Well, that's ridiculous. Wait, you work really hard?" Yeah, and I do, because I feel like, you know, I'm not gonna fall into that internal. Did you guys just see me dodge that little trap my internal arguer set for me there? I tried to use a straw man version of a listener to bait me, but I'm not going to fall in that trap because I'm going to try to distract, but because I'm trying to stay on point, which is I try to make these stories mildly entertaining, with a little bit extra exposition, a little bit extra talking, details that you'd say, well, geez, I didn't need to know the wallpaper, you know, or whatever it is, and then you talked about the wallpaper for 6 or 7 minutes. But hearing you talk about wallpaper is not the worst thing in the world. You know, a lot better than, you know, budgeting. You know, 2 in the morning budgeting, combined with shaming for candy expenditures, which only equate to about 1/1000th of my budget. But for some, you know, problem, you know, that's the kind of budgeting debates that go on in your head for some people. But I'm going to try to take your mind off of that and distract you from that. And all you got to do, if you can stick with me, let me see if I can make this a somewhat salient point. You know, you hear people say, you know, just live in the present moment. Take it one bit at a time. And believe it or not, a lot of times I think what helps this podcast or helps people feel at ease enough to fall asleep is it takes a lot of work for me. You see, geez, I wouldn't consider this a lot of, again, you say, well, gee, I don't know if you're performing, you know, it takes a lot of work to overcome my fear of performance, my fears of embarrassment, and my internal perfectionist that says, this is, you know. So sometimes when I'm feeling extra anxious when I sit down to do the podcast, I have a little trick I use. Not a trick, I guess. It's a, I don't know if it's a method. I don't know. It's a technique. I get, maybe that sounds too fancy, but I'd say a technique. Some might call it a hack, but I'd say, well, I don't know if it's a hack. But what I do is I just say, especially with these Lady Witchbeard ones, because I do write them and rewrite them, or outline them and but it's like, okay, let's just take it 5 minutes at a time, Scooter. Here's the first part of the story. Let's just do 5 minutes, and then let's see how we're feeling. And okay, this is what happened next. And, you know, if we need to take a little pause, and then we'll do the next five, it's going to be okay. Oh, and then we'll do that 10 minutes. Or, you know, just like at bedtime, I'll sit down to do the podcast. For example, tonight I sat down. I wanted to start it at one time. And then another part of me is like, whoa, Scooter, I need to unwind here, watch some. Now, I don't know, definitely not a sensible part of me says, let's watch the news. Okay, well, I thought you said you wanted to watch the local news to unwind. That's counterintuitive, And they say, hey, Scooter, and then a half hour went by. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do it now. And then I said, we got a lot to worry. How long is this going to take? Because I got stuff to worry about here. And I said, let's focus on the moment here, Scooter. Okay, let's just sit down. And then I said, I don't think I want to do the podcast tonight. I don't want to do it ever again. And I said, okay, buddy, let's just do, can we just start the podcast? And then can we do the next one? And then sooner or later, we'll fly through. We might even get into the zone. We might not. And if we don't get into the zone, we'll just take it piece by piece. We can stop if it's really not going well. But let's see how it goes. And I found that technique, it works, and it's being honest. Sometimes I say, well, Jesus, I'm not feeling it. But maybe I'll do it later. Or usually I can power through, though, once I get started. And I start to enjoy myself. Maybe I start to relax. Maybe the story starts to flow. But I think taking it in these little chunks and maybe just taking your sleep and you say, well, geez, Scooter's doing the intro now. Let me try to relax and listen and to shut the brain bots down. You know, so I don't know if you can break it, but this is our chunk here right now. I think that's my main point. This is our chunk together. And for at least this chunk, this is as safe a place as I can make it. I'm going to do my best to soothe, lull, and distract you. And I'll be here for the next 48 to 55 minutes, or I have no idea, about 51 minutes or so. Who knows? I don't have a... And I'll do my best to be silly. I'll do my best to be over... So I'll throw in some extra explanations for you, okay? So this is our chunk here. We're together, kind of. And there's a community of other people listening right now. And so just to try to relax and sink in your bed. We're here. I'm gonna tell a story, and we'll see how it goes. And let's just take this chunk right now. How's that sound? How's that sound as a memorandum of proposal? And I said, well, geez, that's not, if I got that memorandum, I wouldn't have made it. How many paragraphs were in there? Because that was too many. And I would say touche. So I'd say, hey, I said, safe place. I'm sending my voice across the deep, dark night to distract you, to try to put you at ease, to stop your tossing and turning and help you cross over the threshold to sleep. But if for some reason you can't sleep, I'll still be here talking. And I put work into this just in case. And I say, so it's like, well, it's not like I'm just like, just talking words or straight whatever. It's not like a filibuster. Though there is filibustering within there could be filibusters, but it's not one big filibuster. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but I'm glad you're here. And I do help. I help you fall asleep, all right? Thanks for stopping by. And this is your first couple times here. Yeah, this is pretty out of the normal sleep stuff, sleep technique stuff. You know, not a lot of goo, but not a lot of guru. You know, just the goo or the roo. But I'm not a guru. I'm either goo or roo. What did I say? My brain had a gobbledygook. You maybe in some down under, whatever you call me, a mash mouth. I don't know what you guys say. Mush mouth, mash mouth, smush mouth. I say I'm more of a smush mouth, I guess. Or a phage, as I was called last week. The phage is here. So that's it, right? And, welcome back, or come on back anytime. The air's just dull here. It's too late for a country time lemonade metaphor, but let's get you to sleep. What do you say? All right, housekeeping. My ride's on the way here for work, so I'm just, good morning, and just trying to squeeze this in. It's Thursday morning, so this is close to live, if you're listening, it's Thursday night. Housekeeping, we're on web, www.supermoviepodcast.com. You can find our oldest episodes there that aren't on iTunes, like 1 through 30 or 40. You can comment on the website. You can email us feedback at Sleep With Me Podcast. Best way to get a hold of us is on Twitter at Dearest Scooter or on Facebook. We have a wonderful Facebook community, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. It'll take you to the Facebook community. It's a little spot where I guess it's kind of unofficial just because every once in a while I'll check in there. Right now I'm not allowed to check in there because something's going on, but I don't know what it is. But just because I think that's even better, maybe I'll rename it the Keebler, well, I guess that's trademark Keebler Elves. But I want to thank our moderators there, Jennifer, Julie C., Laura, Rachel, and Lida. And founder started by Alexandra and Laura. And Alexandra really hates that when I mention that, so I love doing that. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who does our music. He's got a podcast, Sounds Like an Earful. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer, who do our artwork. I haven't heard from Scotty and Jennifer in a while, but I got to email them. But if you're listening, just give me a hi. Hoping they're well. A couple other highs I haven't given out. Well, this podcast has a lord and a lady. I know this isn't the best time because my ride's coming any second for work. But lord and lady are out there. If you listen to older episodes, there's still the lord and lady of the podcast, assigned by a magical ticker tape machine. So lord and lady, I hope you're well. And when you have a lord and lady, especially if you're in Prague, you need a defrenestrator. So this podcast also has an official defrenestrator, Nick Vancor Phenom 3. He's a professional wrestler or semi-pro wrestler. I would say professional, in my opinion, super professional or ultra professional. But again, I don't read, so I want to say hi to the three of them. It could have been a double D, a triple. Hopefully Nick Vancor Phenom 3 didn't defrenestrate the lord and the lady and then, self-frenestrate, because that wouldn't, but don't do that, we will work it out, okay? I'm going to try to get through what I can before my ride shows up here. Very professional, I got to go to my day job, that's why. But I want to thank, from iTunes reviews, if you want to review the podcast, sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. It's a huge help to help people find the show. Or maybe just know that the show, just know your honest opinion about the show. But I want to thank Manchester United fan, who says the best audio sleep aid possible. Wow, that's a compliment. They've listened to 4 episodes and they don't even know what the podcast is about. So that's great. Then I want to thank Jay Woods from Wisconsin, maybe Jay Woods -II. Thank you. Podcast is making a world of difference for Jay Woods. I don't know if that's James Woods. James Woods is a national treasure, I would say. And Jay Woods, you're a treasure of both Wisconsin and the nation, in my opinion. I want to thank Rythes. Rythes, that's nice to say. Rythes. Sounds like a toast from the future. Yeah, put on some Rythes. It's a cheese whiz and rye bread combined. Finally. Scooter never made it with the sleep podcast, but then he, invented. Maybe I could invade the planet Rythes. He didn't actually make rye cheese and cheese whiz. He brought it back. That's the only product on the planet, Rythes. And it worked out great. It was kind of like they had a big trade deficit because that's all they had. But Rythes says we're soothing. And her husband's a new listener. They're a new listener, and they put their husband to sleep. So that's awesome. And then we got a review from Jazz Critic, who said, wow. They gave us a 1-star review. And as I said, bad reviews are a good thing because they show that, you know, these are real reviews here. But a lot of our bad reviews are knee-jerk reviews that people, which I understand, I'm surprised we don't get more of people that start listening to podcasts and they're like, holy, what is this crap? And then they shut it off and they write a bad review. So I do have a criticism of Jazz Critic if we have time, but Jazz Critic says, if listening to a grown man with vocal fry, baby talk about nothing intelligent, then you're at the right place. Dear God, this is bad. A couple things. I don't know if I use vocal fry. Right now my voice is fried because it's early in the morning and I've only had one pot of coffee, so my vocal cords haven't even begun to wake up. But I think this is my real voice because I think if I was doing vocal, like totally vocal fry, like if I do vocal fry, it's vocal fry. Hold on, I dropped my phone. My ride's here, but so I don't know if I use vocal fry, but maybe we've talked about it. Some people have talked to me about it, and I don't know, but I don't think I do, but maybe I do. I don't know, but I found that worrying about it makes the podcast worse. But I don't know if I'd like to know when I use baby talk and that'd be baby talk and vocal fry. Well, I guess maybe I have done that before. Baby talk with vocal fry. But I gotta go, but I just wanted to criticize Jazz Critic, and normally I'm not passive-aggressive about bad reviews or aggressive, but this is somewhat aggressive, is, you know, if you're going to call yourself the Jazz Critic, please take the time to use jazz-related criticisms, even in non-jazz podcasts. Like you could say, all be no bop, this podcast should go in the pot. Or anything about horns. I mean, geez, way too horny. No, all toots, no horn. This podcast is worse in the morn. And you say, well, he's not the rhyming Jazz Critic, Scooter. Or I think I had one other one. What's the jazz-related stuff? You know, he's no Louis Armstrong. You know, that's a good one. Or he's no Marsalis. Or we finally found the third Marsalis, Dustin. That might be the, come on, Jazz Critic, change your review. We found the third Marsalis, Dustin. I thought another one, but that one's pretty good, yeah. Finally found the one Marsalis that doesn't have talent. But anyway, thank you all for your, even one-star reviews, they help because people say, okay, this is a real review, clearly. Well, I guess then you're like, well, I don't know if Scooter does baby talk vocal fry, but now I do. And I think I probably have more Jazz Critic material, but I don't want to be mean. I mean, I guess I'm not being mean. Geez, you called yourself the Jazz Critic. Throw some jazz criticism in there. It's like this guy is the Muzak to the Dvorak or something. If that's not jazz, that's a language, Scooter, a programming language. Well, don't get all John C. Dvorak on me, bro. I don't even know. I know that's a famous person, but I'm not. Let's move on to the show. Thanks for listening. All right, when we last left off, Lady Witchbeard and I had encountered Montezuma, Monty. And he had a general idea, somewhat misguided idea of who me and Lady Witchbeard were. And I think the reason why is he showed us, like, what I believe now are the secrets of the world, like this hall that was somewhat like a hall you'd see in a natural history museum. It had, I don't know what they call them, exhibits, like life-scale dioramas. But instead of being just static, they were dreamlike. So instead of having an exact idea of who me and Lady Witchbeard was, he was kind of interpreting dreams about me and Lady Witchbeard and about other events. So he thought I was the phage instead of the germ. Or you might say, no, Scooter, he said phage. And I'd say, well, yeah, I prefer the phage. And then he thought Lady Witchbeard was a mustachioed queen. And you say, no, mustached queen. And the Buckler of Swaz, which I like that. I didn't use that enough in the episode for, you know, Buckler of Swaz. Maybe you should say that right before buckler of swaz. That's the kind of thing someone says when you're like, when they're asleep, but you think like, you're like, honey, where's the gold? And they say, buckler of swaz. Yeah, where do you keep the key to the safety deposit box, honey? Buckler of swaz. What did you say under the smaj? Buckler of swaz, my dear. Okay, under the fly swatter, bungler of swaz. But that's what they call Lady Witchbeard. I'll stop right now. And he showed us all these other exhibits. It ended up he was building the pyramid. He showed us other exhibits. And I started interpreting them. And what I figured out is that the pyramid was kind of like a Cold War nuclear weapons, maybe, except... Well, yeah, probably also built at a high cost to the people. I didn't even think about the socioeconomic impacts till just a second. But just like the nuclear weapons, it was a deterrent in Montezuma's, presumably, this is my interpretation. And they say, well, didn't you write this story? No, interpreted this story from, story swamp in my brain. The old story swamp, that's where this stuff, see, how'd you come up with a scooter? I'd say it's a story. I got a swamp of stories in my brain. I just go in there, pull out some muck, smash it to, kind of like making a mud pie. I got distracted there by this. I got lost in the old story swamp. I shouldn't have gone in there just to make a point. You only go in there when you're looking for story stuff. But much like Cold War nuclear weapons, the pyramid was a deterrent for the gods, the angry gods that Montezuma's people were at war with, or some sort. I don't have all the details, but I think he said, "Hey, this pyramid that gathers magic, and it's going to shoot some stuff up in the something where he could take the gods out, or I don't know. I don't think I ever." But it was a deterrent that he didn't, but just like the nuclear weapons, I don't think he was getting rich like the people said, well, geez, we'll make them. I don't know if there was a, whatever you call it, industrial, whatever the thing may jig, but then he said, but the real thing the guys want is Cortez. So I said, well, but Lady Witchbeard said, Jesus has got to do with the magic, I think. Quit building this thing, because if Cortez comes and messes it up, maybe that's what messes up the magic. And I said, buddy, we'll just go get Cortez, deliver him straight to your gods. And he said, well, it sounds like you give it a shot. I think that's how we left it off. We were actually at dinner. It was raining indoors, which I think, not to get off track right away, I don't know many people saw the movie Ice Pirates like 8,000 years ago. Again, another part of my formative sexuality was seen in Ice Pirates, where two people make love in an indoor rainstorm. But I think that's the only good... you don't want an indoor rainstorm when you're eating dinner. It's terrible. Jesus, even if you have a soup, it's like now the soup tastes like water. And it's like, I don't even know where this rain even came from, so who knows? So free advice, any interior decorators or, magic users, save the rain for lovemaking. Or I guess for shooting movies with lovemaking scenes in it, because you say, geez, I don't know if that's even, it might be not bad, it depends on the temperature of the rain. And is love, is it maybe just having sex and not lovemaking you could use indoor rain for. But there wasn't any of that. There was just rain and we're eating dinner. And that's where we left off. So it's time for another episode of The Tales of Lady Witchbeard. Ha, ha, ha. Holy shit, Antone. He just walked right into that, walked right out. And I think he's got a Tesla. He's just drive right back to L.A. Thanks, Antonio. I want to do one more. It's the tales of Lady Witchbeard. Rawr. Rawr. Yeah. I like that, too. All right. Tales of Lady Witchbeard and Antonio Banderas. Thanks. So we had a little bit, as dinner ended, we had a little debate about Monta. You know, because I told him about the whole Golden State Warriors and how Steph Curry, we actually got into an argument of who was cuter, Monta Ellis or Steph Curry. And I said, well, geez, there actually is an argument. But I said, you know, Steph's on the Warriors. He won us the championship, buddy. But I don't think, actually, I guess I was just arguing with myself in the rain. And Monica kept saying, what, Mavericks? What? So I guess that wasn't a real debate. But there was a debate about whether he wanted to come with us. He's like, well, Marina's there. And then Lady Witchbury was like, no, we got to burn it. And I said, well, we could take it. I said, Lady Witchbury, come on. And she said, Germ, we need to get this done. And I said, okay, Monica, you stay here with all these, you know, we'll be back. Don't worry. And then Lady Witchbeard, she dealt with the details, which I said, geez, why haven't we been doing this all along? Like, you be the details person, and I'll be the other person. And then she just gave me that same, and I said, you take care of the details and the magic and the leadership and the stern looks and the furrowed brows. And I'll take care of the Balky Bartok moose, you know. And I said, Lady Witchbeard, I got to make you laugh every once in a while. And she said, well, once a season. And I said, well, there's four seasons in a year. And that actually got her to smile. And she said, why? She said, well, and I said, but she got the details because she said, I think she got the address of like the God drop or wherever. I don't know. That's why she was in charge of the details. Clearly, I went back to the thing that it looked like an aquarium, like the under deep sea fish, glow in the dark fish aquarium, and stared in it looking for answers. But anyway, we had that, and then we hopped on. It was broom time, which I said, this is great. And I said, Lady Witchbeard, what's our plan? And we actually flew the brooms just quick up to the top of the pyramid. And then we talked about vortices again in Sedona, Arizona. And I said, this is a vortices. This must be a huge vortices. Why this pyramid's here? And why the mat, you know, why, and she, we kind of talked about that, but it was super. And I said, vortices is a nice word. And I said, is that one of those trick words? Because it's not vortices, vortici. And I didn't realize, I thought I was thinking of what I was saying. And I said, oh, sorry, Leah. But she busted out her looking glass type thing. That at some point she had to gotten back from me. And that had some sort of magic powers, very Gilliam-esque, I would say, except it didn't strap onto her, like her hat or anything. But we located the general, from the top of the pyramid, you could see everywhere, and you were surrounded by some sort of vibrating stuff, and they had stopped working on it. But they were close to done, and I could sense, I said, yeah, this thing is overflowing with magic. And I said, geez, I wish I had some. But anyway, Lady Witchbeard was like, okay, focus, Germ, focus. That's your mantra with me. That's your mantra with me. And then we found Cortez's, the direction of Cortez, not far off, maybe 4 or 5 days walking, I don't know. But by broom, well, we didn't have brooms, but by broom stand-ins, which were our tent poles, you know. I said, geez, we should get Musky on that. You know, Musky's got the tube. And I said, well, that's better, the tube. His idea is probably better than flying by tent poles. But we were flying there. On our temples with broom dust, magical broom dust. And again, we would have to take a break every once in a while and assess And I said, "Lady, what's our plan when we get there?" And she said, "Well, we got to figure out where he is, and we'll you know, when he fall, you know, we'll take him." And I said, "Lady, do you know what a drone is?" And she said, it's someone that won't stop talking, and they just go on and on and on. And I'm like, "Oh, Lady Witchbeard, what is it? What is this? Why, Lady Witchbeard, do you have a, Lady Witchbeard, is there, do you have a preference about what bristles you like in your broom? Lady Witchbeard, do you like to say bristles in a broom, brooming bristles, bouncing and brooming?" And she just went on like that for, and I said, "Ha, ha, ha." And I said, "No, Lady Witchbeard, not droning. That's droning." And I said, "But you, if you're controlling a drone, you may be droning. But a drone is this thing." And I said, "We could be drones, and we'll circle the camp from above with your thingamajig." And she said, "Someone will see us." And I said, "Not if we're like a drone, Lady Witchbeard. Then you're so high up that you just look like something innocuous." And I said, "Well, nothing flies." And I said, "Don't worry." And we circled the camp far, far in the sky, just like a couple of drones. And we were high, and she was looking at, on her thing, and she said, and I said, I tried to get close, and we were looking, and I said, "Let me look." And I was looking, and I said, "There's," I started doing, I guess I thought I was funny. I was like pointing out, I was making up nicknames for different conquistadors. Probably not good, funny stuff, though, because I was saying they were, I said, I still don't have a clarification if those are pith helmets. So I was doing pith breath, pith face, you know, wasn't hilarious stuff. But Lady Witchbeard said, "I think this is," and then we saw Cortez, or somebody looked, he said, "Man, even at 10,000 feet, this guy's charismatic." There was something about the way he walked, and he had what seemed to be a woman with him, because she just said it was the most lovely, even at 10,000 feet, the most lovely bare shoulders I've ever seen at 10,000 feet, via, you know, monocular or whatever the hell we were using. But then we were going back and forth, and at some point, I guess I did a little bit too much pulling, and Lady Witchbeard yelled at me. And then she said, "We got to redo the," she said, we're too high up. "We got to redust our brooms." And then she got ready to dust her broom. And of course, geez, what did I sneezed. But it wasn't a powerful enough sneeze, you know, up in this atmosphere. But it frightened Lady Witchbeard of all things. And she did one of those things where you get frightened and you do, you know, with your phone. I don't know if that's happened. Or even if, or maybe I was holding, maybe this is the version of whatever, you know. Okay, what really happened is I accidentally inhaled some broom dust. And then luckily my body sneezed it out, hopefully immediately, but maybe not. And then I bobbled the broom dust thing. But Lady Witchbeard caught it, but then she lost her grip. And it tumbled down to the earth. It probably all tumbled out. And I wondered, like, whether cloud of broom died. But I said, "Geez, because that stuff's powerful." And then our brooms, Lady Witchbeard said, "Well, geez, we're screwed, Germ, because what are we going to do? Start to go down. We're going to pick up speed. Our brooms but I think that's what we tried anyway. And then we, you know, our broom, like, whatever, anti-gravity, whatever, it's magic. So just bear with me, you know." That stuff wore off. We started plummeting. And then I said, if I sneeze, you know, I still got some broom dust left in my nasal cavity. So as we plummeted the earth, I was like, "Man, it's really hard to sneeze on command." But then I knew one technique that always works, which is the old, you know, obscure hair plucking. You know, so I did that. And finally I sneezed, and it ended up, it was like, that was something like something out of one of those old Disney live action movies with, that what's her name would be in from Murder, She Wrote, who's Angela Lansbury, you know, like bread knobs and broomsticks. And they say bread knobs, that was part two. Angela Lansbury wasn't in that one. And actually, that Bread Knobs and Boomsticks, that was a, I guess that was something I wrote. The Case of the Sneezing Fool. But in this case, the sneezing fool saved, but ended up Lady Witchbeard had to climb on me like I was a broom. And she got her knees in my back. She was holding my head and using my, because then I started sneezing uncontrollably, I think, because of the broom dust. Even if it was a stupid, but whatever. She used me like I was some sort of a broom, I guess. Which she didn't exactly ride me like a broom, because I don't think, I mean, that sounds terribly inappropriate, but in this case it wasn't. She was like, she was riding me like a combination of a broom and a small magic carpet. More, yeah, like a lumpy magic carpet with her knees on my back, holding my head so that every time I sneezed, kind of like I was a outboard motor on a rowboat, my head and my nose. And I think she was holding one of my legs. But again, I couldn't get a good look because I was sneezing, you know, my eyes are watering. But finally, we mostly crashed into a bush, but at a low speed and landed. But I quickly recovered, and I said, so, Lady Witchbeard, what's the plan? And she said, Germ, she said, are you okay? I said, I'm great. So she said, well, we'll sneak into the camp and figure out, and I said, I'll sneak in there. And she said, Broom, you just ingested some broom dust, and, you know, I rode you like a broom. And I said, yeah, I feel totally, I've never felt so alive. And as a matter of fact, I need to walk to, you know, to get my spine back in alignment because your knees were between a couple of my vertebrae. And I was like, Lady Witchbeard, I love sneaking around. And she said, okay, Germ. And she said, be careful. And I said, Lady Witchbeard, you know, there's nothing, you know, I can't be any less careful than... And she said, don't inhale any more broom dust. And I said, I'm not playing. And she said, don't sneeze and get caught either. I said, oh. They said, why don't they just cover their noses in that situation? You know, we'll plug your nose. But so I creeped my way around the camp. Lady Witchbeard stayed with me on the edge of the forest. You know, they had camped in a clearing. And again, I think they had a sizable army of conquistadors and some indigenous people, but mostly conquistador types. And these were the guys that had been sent to catch Cortez. I think maybe two different groups. I think he had maybe the original group, but there was a secondary group that was in pursuit of us. And I would just assume he used his perfect teeth, his perfect wit, chin, high cheekbones, great, I mean, his phenomenal haircut, and his magnetic personality. But she said, I don't know if you've seen him in a short sleeve shirt, but I would bet he's, you know, he's probably pretty cut too. And beautiful woman on his arm, seems like reasonable intelligence, unfortunately, to win those guys. Promises of gold and all that crap, probably too. And like I said, like somebody quoted me this week, like, dude, he's capable of probably tantric sex and true love. So anyway, what was my point? My point was, so they weren't really on guard, like they weren't planning on being attacked. So their guard was down, which is good for me because, you know, sneaking, despite what I told Lady Witchbeard, I'm a moderate sneaker, you know, creep, you know. Not great at it, not the worst at it. So we made our way around, and then we saw what was his tent, because it was actually his third biggest tent. But I think the first tent was for the horses or something, and the second tent was where they ate, or maybe cooking and eating. I don't know. But I said, all right, I'm going to sneak in. And so I did a pretty nice tent. So I did the old dodging. It was like, it was dusk. They were eating and singing. You could hear some singing. Or it was just chant. I don't know what it was. Maybe they, now I'm thinking about it, they were, maybe there's some really, maybe they're at church. But not important. I sneak into the tent. I do some crawling. I do a couple rolls. And even later, which would, no, Germ, no rolling. Because I just wanted, you know, I said, there's a little Jason Bourne in me. But I got to the tent, I crawled under, and I did at first I tried to crawl, and then I said, oh no, let me lie. I said, why does everybody go head first under the, like a little bit of a, like, why don't you go sideways? And so I said, oh, I'm inventing a new way to sneak into a tent side lengthwise. And I did that, and there was no one in the tent. But of course, then I got into the tent. It was a nice tent. There was a nice bed. And I said, how come big shots always have rugs in their tent, you know, on the ground? And in the center of the tent, on one of the rugs, was this really big chest. And I said, well, geez, that's a big chest. I should look in there and just see. And then I said, oh, wait a second. How am I going to catch Cortez? I didn't even think about that. And then I was like, oh, no, wait, Lady Witchbeard told me a while ago, like during one of our stops with her. And I said, okay, what? And then I heard somebody coming. So then I said, well, I opened the chest. It was full of a bunch of clothes. And I said, this is a perfect hiding spot for me. And I climbed in there. And then I said, I wish there was a thinking cap in here because I need to remember. I said, wait till he goes to sleep. And I said, oh, wait. And then, you know, make sure he stays asleep with the old tap on the noggin. But then I heard like some, you know, he said, is that a woman singing? And I said, was it Amber? Is it something like that? And I guess my curiosity got the best of me, because I did the old cock, the old, what do you call that? Open the chest a bit, you know, the old peering out the chest plan. And as I peered out the chest, the music hit my ears like maple syrup when it hits butter, then hits your tongue on pancakes. It was like, oh. You know, like you do that. I was like, what? It was this woman just singing some. I said, well, I don't even know the language, but it's. And then it, right in my view, was the entrance to the tent. And who strolls in but Hernan Cortez? And immediately he starts singing. I did feel my head. I said, geez, okay, no concussion. And then I said, maybe I have some room. Because he was singing, it was like a musical. He's like, was in the shadows at a woo. Was a woo's a doo's a batu. Like he was singing, like he I was like, what the hell is going on here? And then I see him, he starts dancing, it's Marina. And they're dancing, and they had on, like, I don't know, they had on the kind of outfits you'd expect, like, and they're looking in each other's eyes, and they were, like, he was, like, it was like a seduction by song, and she was seduced, she's like, wowee. And they were doing that thing where you, like, you know, but like an improv dance where he's moving towards her, eyes locked. She's moving towards him. I was like, this is getting sexual quick. But then they were singing and smiling, and lots of eye contact, lots of hand dancing, cheek to cheek. And I'm talking face cheek to face cheek, chest to chest. Still saying, whoa, dipping her. She was dipping him. She was doing moves with her legs that you were like leaning back and putting one leg up. And not in any dirty way either, like subtle. And I said, holy shit, this is like a, this is like some true love stuff going on and right in front of me. And I wish I had my decade. I said, the decades now, because I was like, this is some like 1950s was my first reaction, like some true love movie. And I said, well, maybe not the 50s. And then I said, how come the 40s? I go, oh, yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff in the. I said, maybe the 30s, maybe the. I said, probably not the 60s or the 70s or the 80s. So I said, maybe the 50s or the 30s. This is some sort of 30s level romance with a leading man and a leading woman. And I was watching it unfold and I was mesmerized. And I could not take my eyes off it. And it always stayed on this edge of tension. And for a minute, like, I thought, man, I was watching. I said, I don't know if I could. I started to feel bad about, because I said, these two are really in love, I think. And something about, maybe there was even a vulnerability of Cortez, like, where his confidence was there. But it was also like he was so in love with Marina that I was like, that I connected with him. I mean, because Marina, I was in love with her the whole freaking time. I was in love with her. I was in love with them being in love. And I was also in love with the idea of either Cortez being friends with me or me being him. Or like one fifth as cool as him. And you wonder, you know, when people are like, this is the decade I style myself after, you know, you see people, they say, well, this is my, you know, I'm into 50s style or whatever. And again, I don't know if this was 30s, it could have been the 20s. No, not the 20s. No flap. Marina's no flapper. Nothing against flappers, but she's not a flapper. But just as I started to consider what I was doing, Marina went over to the what is it called? I was in a crate, not a crate, a chest, and flipped it open. I said, oh, boy. And she was still dancing and singing. Look at him. She reached in and I, like, handed something up to her. And it just happened to be the right thing. It was a scarf. And this was still like a movie. I was like, she's spinning around with this, like, I don't know if it was a scarf, because that probably, like, one of those, you know, something you put around your, like, that's thin and translucent, though. But then she said, my, this won't do. And then I said, oh, boy, if they get naked, what the hell am I going to do then? But then she reached in again, and she looked down, and she saw me, and I saw she was reaching for this thing. So I reached up, and I put it on. And then I took her hand and I started dancing with her. I was just, part of me was just caught up in the moment. And I said, oh, the bones of Dido Marina. And I started dancing with her and she kind of went. And I think there was some sort of magic in the room, the tent, because Cortez didn't do anything. And Marina let me start dancing with her. And then I was like, damn, I can't sing. And I said, well, and then I said, wait a second, so Marina, and I said, maybe I should warn her, and I said, Marina, are you with us, are you, and I said, trying to get answers out of her, but then I was like, I don't think I want to capture this Cortez either, but I don't, and I said, well, should I tip them off? And I noticed I was singing the song. And then Cortez was clapping. And then I started to get more caught up in the moment. And I said, well, and Marina spun me, and I made eye contact with her, and I instantly felt like triple time in love with her. And then we were dancing. She was a dancer, man. She was barefoot. Oh, I didn't even step on her feet. And it was like, I felt even the, like, pleasure of forlorn. There was, like, a forlorn pleasure in there because I knew what I just witnessed as, like, no shot for me. And then she spun me around. And then she spun me to Cortez. And Cortez danced with me for the night. And I said, okay, stay. And I noticed I had on some sort of something I had put on. What is this? And this feels, I said, this feels pretty. Well. And I noticed Cortez grabbed the lapel and I said, whoa, 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 buddy. No. So, and I kind of broke the moment because I said, no, that's something, that's a boundary. And then I spun around, and I guess I kind of killed the mood. And he said, take off the coat, Germ. And then I turned to Marina, was standing in front of the doorway, and she was flushed. And so was I, so was Cortez. And I said, okay, this is, but she was standing there blocking my way too, like flushed with passion and passionate. And I said, well, I said, take off the coat. And then Marina said, the coat of many colors, Germ, remove it. And then I noticed Cortez like had snuck his way to get something to make, you know, say, geez, I'm serious about you taking off the coat. And I said, well, this has been a lovely evening. I said, it's so good to see you guys. And he said, nothing with the germ, no germ around, Germ. And I said, I go by the phage now, by the way. You don't need to call me the germ anymore. And he said, it's germ. And I said, well, it's the phage now, the phage. And he said, off with the coat. And I said, the coat of men. And I said, okay. I said, so this is a coat of many colors for the angry. And I got lost up in the Neil Young song again. And I said, well, he said, I just came here to, I said, that was, I said, you two really love each other or something, huh? And he said, Germ, remove the coat. And I said, well, I wanted to see if we could work out a compromise because, and Marina said, there's going to be no compromise, Germ. You won't be taking her on. And he said, and I said, taking her on? Where would you get that idea? And then I said, okay, the coat of many colors has got to be. And I guess I was waiting for it to do some magic stuff. And then, I said, geez, the coat. And I said, the coat of many colors. And I guess I was nervous. Sometimes when I'm, not even when I'm nervous, sometimes I'll just repeat songs over, so like over and over again. And then I don't know what I was thinking, but I said, I thought about the goat of many colors. And I started laughing. I said, the goat of many, and next thing I know, I'm transforming into a goat, or I don't know, I'm becoming a goat of many colors. And I mean, for real, like not metaphorically. And then I said, I was still kind of saying, and I was aware of it, like they say, like out of body, like I was watching myself transform, but I was also inside this goat's body. And I said, go to them. And then I said, next thing you know, as with most things, you know, I was still singing in my head, but then I was like, bah, you know, I guess I wasn't bah, that's what sheep do, but you know, goats make a bleating, I know sheep bleat too, B-L-E-E-T. I don't know, goating. I was making some goats, which isn't that different than my singing. And then Cortez he made a move at me, but I had, you know, I had my goat stinks, you know, goat instincts, which turns out are a lot better than germ instincts or phage instincts. Because he made a move for me. I didn't even know I was capable of it. I did like a JUCO move where I did a left, right, left. And he dove at me, and then I goated by him. Marina went at me. I gave her actually a little butt, not a big, you know, Marina already had she had a good butt, but I butted her with my horns, but not in a violent way, just like I bumped her out of the way. And then I did a move, but just pure goat instincts. I was not in control here, but I was. And I dashed right out the door. Boom, I broke a hard right out of the thing. They tore out, but they, you know, overshot. And actually, my goat stinks were going so fast that I, like, hung, like, 90 degrees around the side of their tent. Then I went another 45-degree right. And I shot in the woods. And I was a goat of many colors. And believe it or not, like, I don't know if I was a chameleon goat, but it just happened to be the many colors were like, I was invisible as soon as I hit the forest. And then I said, oh boy, I'm a goat of many. And I said, don't think about it, Phage. And I said, well, geez, I better find Lady Witchbeard, you know, because who better to find if you've been turned into a goat than, your witch buddy. But at first I stayed still because I was like, okay. And then I heard Cortez yelling out orders. He's turned into a goat. Find me the goat. And they started it. And I said, okay. And I looked around and I said, goat instincts, find Lady Witchbeard, and nothing happened. So I said, okay, these goat stinks aren't automatic. But then I said, okay, so Phage instinct. And I said, okay. And I remember we're supposed to meet this big tree. She said, she told me, she's like, okay, after you come out, if you can see the three tents, you know, look for the top. So I said, okay, that's human instincts, but it still works for a goat. And I said, geez, I got a human brain and consciousness. I said, I wonder if, you know, what consciousness, you know, theorists are saying, geez, if you can turn into a goat, what does that mean for human consciousness, you know? If I can bring my consciousness into a goat, does that mean there's an afterlife or is it irrelevant? But then I said, I better go finally. So I started going to Lady Witchbeard. I was moving slow. And then I said, then I caught a whiff of my, I said, man, I still got a human scent memory because I stink. I said, man, a goat of many colors and scents. And luckily, I guess, or maybe just naturally, I changed into a male goat because then I thought about how relieved, despite my goat-like scent, that I didn't smell like I'm not a big goat milk fan. And I said, you know when people say, geez, they're sensitive to some flavors. The flavor of goat milk and lamb, those two flavors, I don't know, my tongue's just sensitive to them. I don't like it at all. And I said, what would that mean? Would I be a colicky goat baby then if I had to drink goat's milk? And I said, well, luckily I'm a grown goat. And then I got distracted because I started button stuff because I said, geez, I got horns now. I'm a horny. And I butted a couple bushes, but then I was like, okay, don't bring, you know, and I started sneaking again, goat style. And being a goat in the woods is pretty good because, you know, goat hair is kind of, you know, thicker and coarser. And then I made my way, and there was Lady Witchbeard. She was she's also good in the woods, you know, green and blacks. So she stepped out and she said, hello. And I tried to talk, and I said, I just made a movement with my head, and I said, and she said, do I know you? And then I did a spin, and I said, oh, geez, too bad. I said, what, a spin right? Yes, a spin left? No. But I just thought that, and she didn't answer. And then she said, come here, little goat, come here. And I said, and she said, you're a nice, she said, you're a very colorful goat. And she said, you remind me of someone. And I said, well, it's Mila. And then she said, come along. And she said, have you seen my friend, the Phage Germ? And I said, and I tried to do the yes, and, but I don't know, I think she knows it's me, I think. And she said, come on. And then she was leading me by my horns. She actually had a grip on my horns, like a nice, soft grip. And I said, well, geez, I wonder where we're going. And then I said, wait a second, we're good. And then I noticed we walked right into the camp. And then we walked right in the soldiers. Everyone stopped, there was a lot of yelling until they saw Lady Witchbeard, and then there was no yelling. And they just kind of nodded, and I said, wait a second, that's strange. And we went right to Cortez's tent, and right inside, and I said, and she said, come along, little goat. And as soon as we went in the tent, some guy ran in right behind Lady Witchbeard and handed her a rope. that she put over my head, and then she put it, wrapped it around my horns too. And I said, oh, Jesus. And she said, I got you now. She tied me to the temple at the center of this tent. And she sat on the chest, and then in walked Marina and Cortez. And Cortez said, oh, Lady Witchbeard. And she said, Hernan, Marina. And he said, I'm glad you came. And she said, is this German? He said, it is. He's a goat of many colors. And she said, is that going to be a problem? He said, no, we could just remove his coat if we need it. You know, it'd still be the goat's coat of many. And I bleated at that. I said, like a lamb. And then Cortez said, well, I'm glad you've decided to work with me. And then I started looking back and forth, and I said, wait a second. And I said, geez, I wonder if do goats have tear ducts. I said, wait, is the Lady Witchbeard double crossing me? And she said, well, my primary concern is saving the magic, Hernan. She said, you can have whatever you want, the gold, the people, the power. She goes, I just need to protect the magic. And I said, my heart kind of sunk, but then, I don't know, then Cortez sat down on the bed and he called me over and Marina sat in his lap. And she was scratching my head, which actually felt phenomenally good. And they were all kind of sitting there, and he said, well, Lady Witchbeard, we'll have to come up with a plan. And she said, I already have a plan, Hernan. And he said, excellent. And he said, Marina, do you want to take care of this goat? And she said, yeah, this is a good goat. And I say, then I was even more torn, because I was like, man, feeling a good petting is very distracting for whatever you call it. Feels so good, you stop thinking straight. I think that's what happens to animals and stuff. Like, I had the scent soothed right out of me. So even though I had been double-crossed, and I said, well, geez, I was a goat, so that's not great. Goat of many colors. I didn't even know. I kind of accidentally transformed into it. I was caught. Lady Witchbeard double-crossed me, kind of. I kind of feel guilty about double-crossing. Well, I said, we're not really double-crossing or not. But I said, well, this is probably a good place to stop for this week. You know, I'm a goat trying to cry, but being so soothed by a beautiful woman petting me. Strange situation, strange occurrences, but the goat of many colors is the phage. Now a goat of many colors. And you might say to yourself, how many colors, what colors? And I'd say, yeah, use your imagination. Think of the most lovely goat you've seen, and then add so many natural colors to it. Like a goat of dreams being soothed with such a gentle, gentle pet. A gentle, gentle strokes on the area right between your ears and your horns. That just loves to be stroked. So soothing, so gentle, so kind, that it makes the feelings of being double-crossed and confused go right away. Good night.